Mary's Christmas Story. We begin with Mary, a young lady who lives in Nazareth. Now, we know that she was a godly girl. God chose her in part because of that. She blossomed into a lovely young lady. She met Joseph the carpenter, small town, would have seen him. He was somewhat older than she, but that's not was not a bad thing as far as relationships. Men and women didn't hang around each other. The only logical place for them to meet was at the well. And all the love stories of the Middle East are all about coming to the well. That's when they could speak and talk and actually look at each other. But she knew who he was. So then one day, Joseph visited her home and said, "I would like to speak to your father." Woohoo, something's happening. And he made it known that he wanted to marry her. So she was very excited. Here was a stable man, a man known to be a godly man, and he wanted to marry her. On the day of their betrothal, Mary and Joseph spoke of their plans to be faithful to each other and to raise a godly heritage to the Lord. That was the plans. Things seemed to be going along. Normal girl, normal guy. We find in Luke 1, 26 to 33. And in the sixth month, and this is dating Mary's cousin Elizabeth's pregnancy with John the Baptist. So the sixth month of her pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Gabriel, this is the same Gabriel that visited Daniel. This guy doesn't age. He's just an angel. He doesn't have regular body like we do. But he came into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused, betrothed, to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Joseph was of the house of David. So was she. But so they were keeping within that range. And the virgin's name was Mary. Mary is an interesting name. We find that in the book of Ruth that Naomi took on the name Mara, and it means bitter. And Mary comes from that. It is you don't think of bitter when you think of Mary, but it comes from that sort of inherent sadness that comes with life and death to your family. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that are highly favored." Now, this word favor is actually the word grace in the Greek. This is not a mistranslation. This is just how they used the term grace. So if you were, and the King James margin says, graciously accepted, see, or you are of much grace, God dealing with you. And that would mean that you are favored by God in this case. The Lord is with thee. This is how we know she was a godly person. God, who knows, the angel who was told to say this, says, "The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." You are exalted. You are blessed. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind, "What manner of salutation should this be?" Reminds me of when the angel met with Gabriel. Not Gabriel, but met with Gideon and said, "Hi, you mighty man of valor." And he was hiding from the enemy down here. He was in an area where they would deal with grapes, but he was working with wheat, grinding a little bit to get some food for his family. Mighty man of valor. She says, "Blessed among women? Did you get the right address?" You know, she's thinking about all this. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God," grace with God. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." This is the name Joshua. "And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So she thinks, well, I am betrothed to be married, so I think that I would have a baby, but how does this work? Because he's talking like it's going to happen right away. So she asks in verse 34, then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? If we contrast this conversation with the angel that visited John the Baptist's father, we find a difference here, because his father, the priest, was actually in the temple doing his work, and this shining angel appears to him and tells him that he's going to have a son, and he's to name him John. And so this priest looks at this angel that just appeared in the darkness and shining in the bright and says, how do I know this is true? And the angel got ticked off. He said, he doesn't answer the question. Well, here's how you know. He says, I am Gabriel. I stand with one of the top angels of the very face of God. So here's how you'll know. You can't talk from now on. You be mute. You cannot speak until the son is born, till you see it happen. And then he leaves. Now here's somebody else. She's not doubting what he says. She's trying to understand, do I have to do something to make this happen? How can this be, since I know not a man? I have not had any relationships with a man. This announcement and prophecy confused her, you see. He answers, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Some people were wondering why sometimes it's called ghost and sometimes it's called spirit. It's actually, at the time of the translation, these words were interchangeable synonyms. It's the same Greek word, pneuma, spirit. We have made a distinction in our day that a ghost is some spooky afterlife character, and spirit is sometimes good. But it was used for that. In fact, the older books you'll read, they actually talk about a person's spiritual service, and they'll say your ghostly service. So it's no difference here. It's just the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit is the same word. And he says, he shall come upon thee. The pregnancy will happen because you will be come upon by the Holy Spirit. And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. There's a picture of a shadow coming over her. And then he says, therefore, since this child will come about by God's action, therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, let me give you an example of how God works, he says, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. At a time when she couldn't bear a child physically, God moved upon her and her husband, and they had a child together. This was not a child from God, it was a child blessed by God. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. When we think of impossible, we think of with all the rules of life and science and nature about us, some things we can't do. See? I can't just fly. I don't have wings. I don't have abilities to do that. I can't pass through walls without hurting myself and the wall, you know. These things you can't do. It's impossible. But for God, outside of time and space, who makes walls and time and atmosphere, there is nothing impossible. So she bows to him in faith. Gabriel explained by giving her an example of God's power with her cousin Elizabeth. In verse 28, Mary said, Behold, she had to curtsy. I don't know. Did they curtsy then? I don't know. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. The handmaid means the slave, the servant. I'm the servant girl. I do as I am told. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary submitted to God's will. She knew what that meant. She knew that this angel didn't come to Joseph, didn't come to her parents, didn't come to the village of Nazareth and tell them what's going on. So she's going to have to face this alone. We see then in verses 39 to 45 that Mary arose in those days. It doesn't say she immediately left, but as this, and I think she probably told her parents what's going on. And they're looking at each other like, what's happening to Mary? But, you know, no evidence, no angelic dust upon her or anything like that. So she decides to leave because the thing that the angel mentioned was her cousin Elizabeth, elderly lady, now with child. And at the 6th month, she would be quite evident. So she went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias, the husband, and saluted Elizabeth. I think I'll tell if she's really pregnant, but we know each other, cousins of some kind. The word is not precise. It just means relative. And she saluted. She called out a greeting. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. John the Baptist responded to Mary's voice. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, you understand that before the church began on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit could come and go with believers and fill them for a certain purpose. It doesn't mean they were saved or unsaved. It just means that he was using them. He filled Samson with physical strength. He filled other men with abilities of wisdom, of abilities, talents of things. So she was filled with the Holy Ghost, and so she spake out. This is actually then a prophesy. This is God speaking through her because the Holy Spirit had filled her. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. This is pretty much what the angel had said. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? She just knows this. The Holy Spirit gave her that understanding. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. She recognized it didn't just startle the baby. My wife mentioned that something will startle the baby within her, and the baby will jump, loud noise. But this was leaping for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there, or which believed that there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Here's the blessing of Mary, that she believed it. She counted it as true. She said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. So Mary immediately went to, I say immediately, we don't know if it was the same day, just says in those days, she went to visit Elizabeth, who the angel had mentioned in the message, and Elizabeth was the only person who could verify what the angel had said. Not that she was looking for verification, but just had to see this. Elizabeth confirmed everything, including the fact that Mary, even now, carried the Messiah within her. I don't know if she felt something in that, if the implanting of that embryo was something that changed in her body and she felt it. I know that there are women who are surprised to find that they are expecting. So I don't know that that event actually feels like anything. But here it was confirmed. I've wondered then exactly when did it happen. It might have happened when she said, okay then, do unto me as you will. That might have been exactly the point when the Holy Spirit filled her. And God, who made the body, just did whatever needed to be done, and she was carrying the Christ child. With that absolute confirmation of both Elizabeth and herself, Mary speaks up. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. You wonder, think for a moment, what does that mean? What does magnify mean? You have a magnifying glass, you know what that is? And when you magnify something, you make it bigger in your thinking, see, in your sight. And this is it. We can't make God bigger, but we can see him bigger than we did before. And this is what she's doing with her words. She is making God big in our thinking. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. Who am I, she says. I'm this little girl, you know, small village, poor, poverty person. And he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Now, people have gone too far and blessed her and called her things that she never was, claiming that she was born without sin and so on. They can't figure out how she could have a sinless child if she was born with sin. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath hope and helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He has sent the Savior to Israel, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And I love the idea that Mary magnified the Lord. There was nothing even hesitating about this. God is good. God is powerful. And he has bypassed the rich, the powerful, the wealthy. I guess that's rich. And the people who would have assumed that if God was going to come, it had to be through them. And he bypassed them, coming to this little place and finding her. And Mary abode with her, with Elizabeth, about 3 months. Now, she was 6 months when she came, so 3 months would be just about time for her to have the baby, Elizabeth, to have John the Baptist. And she returned to her own house. But now she has been 3 months away from home and perhaps beginning to show. So she stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months, as Elizabeth was ready to deliver. So Luke 2, 4, and 5, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, and the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed or enrolled, with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now this verse is not in the chronological order here, but I wanted you to see that this is the state that they were in. The espousal, the betrothal, meant they had legally married, but they had not completed the marriage by physically coming together. They had not sealed the act of marriage. And this is true even until the time of Christ's birth. So when Mary returned to Nazareth, we get back to our chronology, she must have thought about confiding in Joseph, but decided there was no way for her to explain it. How could I say anything to Joseph who doesn't know what the angel said to me, doesn't know if an angel spoke to me? What would it sound like for him to hear me say, I'm going to have a baby, but it's okay, it's a gift of God? You know, she said, now, this is God's working, I'll just let him deal with it. You know, there are times when you would say, here's what I believe, here's what I stand for. You can believe anything you want, but the truth is that I'm not guilty of what you say. There are other times when you just let people say whatever they're going to say, and you let God work it out. This is, I think, what Mary did. I don't think she tried to tell Joseph about this. Soon she began to show her condition, and her actions confirmed that she was with child. Small town, everybody knew everybody. She still went about her duties. And so they said, Mary looks like she's expecting a child. When word reached Joseph, he visited the home to check it out. She probably told her father to tell Joseph that she was indeed with child. She cast herself on the Lord's mercy and was ready to raise Jesus alone. The angel hadn't said anything about she was going to provide the husband in this time. So he leaves. We heard last time that he went through the mental process of deciding how to divorce her, because a righteous man wouldn't take a loose woman as his wife. And then, as the angel did, he visited him in a dream. He had this very realistic dream, something that different from the time he was dreaming that he was jumping on a pizza as a trampoline or whatever. So she was surprised when she heard the cry, the bridegroom has come. But she was ready. She had prepared. Let's see. So her wedding party set out for Joseph's home and to the marriage supper, the time when normally the husband and wife would take each other in arms and they would complete the marriage. On the way, they must have compared stories. Well, what went on with you? And now, of course, they can believe each other because God has confirmed it in both of them. Joseph telling of his recent dream visit, Mary sharing her visit from Gabriel himself. Both of them were told to name the child Jesus. He told Joseph to name him, call him Jesus, and Mary that she would call him Jesus. So I think it might be normally the father's role to actually name the child. But in fact, when they named John the Baptist John, his father still couldn't speak. So Elizabeth said, his name will be John. He said, no, you can't be John. You don't have anybody in your family named John. And so they said, we have to check with the father. So they go over there and he goes, his name is John. God already told me this. And I'm going to believe that. And then he could speak. Yes, your name is John. So it may be this, and this is why God specifically told Joseph to name him Jesus. Anyway, wonderful conclusion to this, that they understand each other in a way that no other couple had ever understood each other. Mary must have marveled at Joseph being willing to leave the appearance of his just reputation in the hands of God. But don't you think Joseph must have thought the same thing with Mary? In Matthew 1:25, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. No here is the word for no, but it is the word that means to know by experience, and in this case refers to a husband experiencing the physical relationship with his wife. He said no. So Mary would have wondered what would happen on the night of the marriage supper, but Joseph explained his intentions to keep her pure until the birth of Jesus. Probably about 4 months later, they received the notice from the higher-ups, from the herald of the king came to talk about this, that they must leave for Bethlehem. She was 9 months pregnant, nearly ready to deliver. So it would have been a very hard trip. There was no limousine service available. And all the pictures show that she rode a donkey, but we don't know, see. It was a hard trip for her to Bethlehem, but Joseph reminded her that this was no surprise to God, who had prophesied long ago that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Don't you think that would have been a comfort to realize that we've got to get there because he can't be born until we get there? So she's probably saying, let's hurry, let's get, it's time for this baby. Even the emperor must obey God. The trip certainly brought on labor pains. My guess, how could it not? Joseph tried everywhere once he got there. This is really important. We need a place for my wife to lay down. She's going to have a baby. But Bethlehem was full. He finally got permission to use a stable for the night. Don't you think the man said, oh, I hate to put you there, but I can let it go for cheap. No, I don't know what he said. But there was a place. It was a place with a roof. It might have been a cave. Many of the areas in that area didn't have a lot of lumber, so it might have been a cave. One of the songs we sing, one of the modern songs says, in a cave, something. We read this in Luke 2, 6 and 7. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, a feed trough, because there was no room for them in the inn. So she tried to relax as Joseph, her faithful husband, gathered straw for their bed. But soon the baby came. And Joseph was everything to her that night. Don't you think she saw him being midwife and being servant and just remarking on what a faithful man he was? And when the baby went to sleep, he laid him in the manger. Luke 2, 16 to 19. We're not with the shepherds here. We're with Mary. So we read 16 to 19. And they, the shepherds, came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Odd place for a baby, but they were in a stable. And when they had seen it, the shepherds had seen it, they made known abroad, this is talking everywhere, waking people up in the night, the saying which was told them concerning this child. Born unto you this day, in this city of David, the Savior, Christ, the Messiah. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They wondered why these guys were pounding on their door, why they were shouting through the windows. They were wondering what's going on. Were these a bunch of shepherds drunk out here? What's going on? See? And they said, we have seen the baby Messiah. And he says, all that heard it wondered at those things which were told by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. These are things that, you know, she hadn't been told all these things are going to happen. So she's beginning to see how God is working all these things together, that even shepherds had to come to celebrate. So the shepherds visited the stable and told her of their heavenly vision, and Mary pondered all these things in her heart. She was that type of person. She didn't, She was not a thoughtless person. She was a thoughtful person. Now, here's again a thing out of chronological order, but just to give you the facts on this, Matthew 2:11a, and when they, the wise men, were come into the house, not the stable, they saw the young child, not the baby Jesus, with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. So Joseph found lodging for them, surely the next day, the stable would have been busy, and so he was able to make a more extensive look and have the day to find the place, and then undoubtedly took care of the enrollment of the census, standing in whatever the long lines must have been. Now, in that new home that they're renting or perhaps purchasing, it seems to indicate that Joseph thought this is where they would live now that the baby was born there. But Luke 2:21-24, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, this was specified in God's law for Israel, his name was called Jesus. This is when they established the name, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. In the days of purification, there was a certain amount if you had a boy, and there was a certain amount if you had a girl. We found now that healing of the womb takes longer if you have a girl. Something about the feminine hormones in the mother. But so there were specified days, and that would be enough that she was well enough to move around. She brings him then to present him to the Lord. This is where God said that the first child to exit the womb was to be given to the Lord. So if he had an animal that could be sacrificed, the first one went to the Lord. Of course, he didn't sacrifice humans. So you purchased them back from God. And that's what's going on here. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, kind of belonging to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. Now, if you were wealthy, they had cattle and bulls and things to be offered. But if you were poor, then you could find a couple of birds. So a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So this declares their economic status at this point. So when the baby was 8 years old, Joseph took them to the temple in Jerusalem for his circumcision and the firstborn offering. In Luke 2:25-35, we have what she would have seen while they were there. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for the coming Messiah. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Again, he came upon him, filled him for a purpose, and we see the purpose because he speaks true words. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. At some time before, he had been told, you won't die until you see the Messiah, the Lord's, God's Messiah, Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. He was led into the temple by the Spirit that was filling him. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace. Let me die. Let me enter your arms according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. In this child is thy salvation, the salvation that God is offering, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. I'm always just struck how often God emphasized this, that it was the blessing of Abraham to all the whole world, not just the Jews. But they weren't listening to that part. And the glory of thy people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, And then aside to Mary, he said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And so Simeon enters the temple, and he prophesies of the many things of her coming sorrow. We find then that old Anna comes, verses 36 to 38. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and was a widow of about 84 years, so 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. The fasting and prayers go together because when she was praying, she wasn't eating. She was refraining from eating, that God would recognize that these prayers were very important to her, and that they were more important to speak to him than to feed her body. So she would have been a thin lady, you see. She was doing this a lot. And she, coming in that instant and heard what Simeon was saying, gave thanks likewise, as Simeon was doing, unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem or Israel. So if she talked to anybody that she knew was a faithful believer, one who had looked for the coming Messiah, she looked them up. She told them all about this. Sweet elderly lady, you can imagine the face, you know, wrinkled with time, but wrinkled where you have smiles in the corners and little crinkles in the edge of the eye that twinkle. She was a person at peace with God. She walked in just as Simeon spoke, and she started giving thanks to God for the child. She told everyone who was looking for the Messiah, he had come. A little bit out of chronology here, but the story of Christ growing up, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Again, this word favor is grace. And so we have here increased in wisdom, so he learned things. The all-knowing God had set that aside to become a man, and he learned. And not only wisdom, but stature. So physically, he grew up. Also in favor and grace with God. So he actually grew spiritually. He didn't become any better. He was already a perfect son of God and without sin. But he studied the word of God. When people asked him questions, he said, Haven't you read? Didn't you study the word of God? At this time, I don't think it would be possible for him as a little boy to know that he was the Son of God. I think this was something that dawned on him as he pursued his relationship with God, as he studied the Word of God, and then as the Holy Spirit ministered to him in favor with God, but also in favor with man. So he grew not only spiritually, but socially. He was not a hermit. He was not a keep to yourself or growled at people when they got near. He was a social person, fully rounded. So the family settled in, and Mary made a home there in Bethlehem. Little Jesus grew like any boy, but he was especially strong in spirit, was wiser than his years, and soon he was 2 years old. Something happened then in Matthew 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. It doesn't say there were three, it just says wise men. There was a core here of wise men. We don't know how many wise men were there. The gifts were of three characters, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But to have a group of priests, these were Zoroastrian priests from Persia. And the whole question of how in the world would they know about Jesus and all that, we'll get to that next week if we live that long. and I'll go into some detail on what must have been the case. At any rate, they came. There would have been them, and then there would have been soldiers with them to protect them because they were carrying great wealth. And the traveled area, the Fertile Crescent, as they call it, was loaded with people looking for people with wealth. So they would have been protected. Also, they didn't make it in a day, so they had to be carrying with them animals that would have been slaughtered and fed, fed to the troops and to the wise men and so on. So there were cooks. There were people who knew how to do this. And then there must have been people that set up the tents and all this. So I don't think there were three. I think we're looking at a group of 300 to 600 people that came marching through. It says they came saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" What they had knowledge of was that there was somebody who was going to be born at this time, who was going to be King of the Jews. "For we have seen his star in the east," the star marking the time of his birth, "and are come to worship him." So this is not a regular king. This is a king that has come from God, one to be worshipped. "And when he," the king, "had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ," where the Messiah, "should be born." They said, "Oh, we know that." They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet," when, and a quote from Micah 5:2, 5, around 2, where it says, "Thou Bethlehem Ephratah." "And when they had heard the king, they departed. He demanded of them carefully when they saw the star," meaning when was the baby born? How old would he be if I find him? So they heard the king, and he says, by the way, be sure to come back and tell me where he is and how I can find him, because I want to worship him too. He wanted to kill him. So they leave, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, but they hadn't seen it since, they saw again. And now it was right there, low in the sky. It went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they were so relieved, they were so happy, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. It had just appeared as a sign, a star that wasn't normal, that appeared. And these people who, you know, I could have looked up in the sky and said, I don't think I noticed that star there before. It wouldn't have happened to me. But for them, they had mapped them out. They knew the course of the stars and so on. But they saw this one, and it was, it was like a spotlight from a helicopter. You could see when it was over something. And it came and stood over the house. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented or offered, made an offering unto him, gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. If I were to give that to you today, you would find sort of a yellowish stuff that would be frankincense. This can be ground and burned for a sweet smell. It even used today for medical things. And then myrrh, also an organic thing. It is like a sap that comes from the tree. What we would call bushes, they call them trees, but they take this sap and then it hardens, and then you can liquefy it again, and it's very often used to pour over dead bodies for preservation and for a sweet smell, allowing the body to be visited for a while. But that's gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So the troop marched off, leaving the neighborhood wondering what was going on at that house down the way. Honey, I don't know if you noticed, but there were troops and people with swords and stuff. They stopped at that house, the people that just moved in. So the Magi from the east visited one night. I said they are priests from Persia. The very name Magi defines this. I'm constantly amazed at the people who say, I don't know where they're from. They were astrologers that came from the east someplace. This is the name of those priests. Historically, they understood this. And they had seen a supernatural star on the night that Jesus was born, and now they see it again, rejoiced to see it, and were led to that house. They left precious gifts and worshiped Jesus, and then left. Well, Matthew 2, 13 to 15, when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, when he got up from his sleep, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Again, we see Mary here in the sense that when the husband said, this is what we're doing, she didn't say, well, how come the angel didn't talk to me? You know, the angel talked to me before. But now you're saying that he talked to you again. Now, because you had this dream, we got to move from this house. We were just getting settled. We've only been here for 2 years or whatever. So none of that with Mary. And was there in Egypt until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord of the prophets, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. So we leave the story there, because that night Joseph woke the family, took them away to a new home in Egypt. And after a time, Joseph told them that God wanted them back in Israel. Again, she received this notice from Joseph. They first thought to return to their home in Bethlehem, but God warned Joseph, again in a dream, to go back to Nazareth, because Herod's son was in power. So Mary had a sweet reunion with family and friends that she had not seen in a few years. But she noticed, I'm making this up, but a small town, she noticed the whispers and disapproving looks from the others. Bound to happen. They were not told about the angel visits, and I don't know if they would have believed it if they'd heard it. Later on, as the Jews had investigated Jesus, he's talking about fathers, and they say, we were not born of fornication. Implication that they thought he was. She noticed the whispers and disapproving looks. All she cared about, however, was that Jesus was happy and well cared for. Everyone seemed to like him, in favor with man, and he had a sweet disposition. Life was good in Nazareth as she watched her husband teach Jesus carpentry and the rabbi teach him the word of God. Story, Christmas story from the viewpoint of Mary. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we bless Mary. We consider her blessed above all women because you found her at the precise time, perhaps had prepared her and her family for this. You were especially loved by her. We can tell this because so much of what would have depended on normal lifestyle was given up when she was willing to have a baby by the Holy Spirit himself. There was no resistance. There was rather belief. And I ask that you might help us, Father, to be like Mary in that when she knew God's will, there was no question about whether she wanted to do it or not, or what would people think. She had one goal, and that was to obey the Lord. She called herself the handmaiden of the Lord. He was the master. She was the servant. What he said, she would do. I ask, Father, that you might help us to have that sweet spirit, to recognize that when we read in your word, what you have said is your will for us. That settles it, that we will not depart from that. We will consider ourselves, as the holy men and women always have, the handmaid or the hand servant of the Lord. With heads bowed, eyes closed, perhaps you're saying, I don't know that I'd have such a sweet spirit when the whole world is going to think one thing while God is thinking another. I'm not sure I would be so ready to say yes. But God's will is God's will. And the best thing you and I could possibly do is to do as he wants us to. His choice is always best. Perhaps then it's time tonight for you to say, I need to submit my will so fully to God, to say, as she did, behold, look at me, I'm the handmaiden of God. Or we would say, the men would say, I am the slave of God. He just tells me what to do and I obey. If that's your concern, if that's your prayer, would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me. This is what I need to do tonight. This is where I need to be. This is how I need to live. Pray for me. Father, then we commit ourselves to thee with the great example of Mary and her sweet spirit. She has become, in some cases, honored in an improper way, but honored nonetheless. We ask that you might guide and direct us to be more concerned about our reputation with thee than our reputation with others. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.